So the story of the Quran today, or the conversation in the Quran, comes from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is a time when he is considered as a senior. Of course, he lived a very long life, but this was at a point where the story of Ismail alayhi salam had already taken place. The Kaaba has already been built. There's a lot of things that we see from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is a story that takes place after all of that. Try to understand it. It is as if is when Ibrahim alayhi salam went into retirement in one way. You understand? Ibrahim alayhi salam, these are, you know, his later days. Not his end days, but the latter, you know, the later days in his life. So we find in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent some malaika to go and destroy Qawm Lut. And on their way, they were given special instructions that make sure you stop by the house and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam and give them the glad tiding of Ishaq alayhi salam. Now, we all know that, especially, you know, nowadays when people do get married, they plan out and having children. But a long time ago, when people were getting married, especially going back way back, people were not thinking about this. Whenever they would get married, right away they were thinking of having children. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam got married to Sarah, and for a significant time they were not able to have children, then on the other hand, when Hajar alayhi salam came into the picture, and Ibrahim alayhi salam married Hajar alayhi salam, and then he had a child with her, which was Ismail alayhi salam. So Sarah, for such a long time, she never had any children. And Ibrahim alayhi salam always felt bad that if there was, you know, I could not give her a child. And it was the dream of every woman that I want to have children. So, of course, this was always on the mind of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So now we come to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam when the angels and the malaika came to him. The very first thing is that this story has been mentioned in three surahs in the Quran. It did not take up the entire surah, but it has been mentioned in three different surahs. In Surah Dhariyat is in the 26th juz, or the 26th para, at the very, very end of the juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the generous nature of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the hospitality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah says, Hal ataka. So Allah is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hal ataka hadith dhaif Ibrahim al-mukramin. Should I not tell you about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam when there were guests that came over to his home? And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hadith dhaif Ibrahim al-mukramin. These were guests who were honored by Ibrahim alayhi salam, because Ibrahim alayhi salam had a very generous heart. And then Allah says, idh dakhalu alayhi faqalu salama. They entered into the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, pause here for a moment. The ulama, they state in the tafasir that this entry sort of seems like as if there was no formal kind of, you know, there were no formal practices that took place, where they came, they knocked on the door, Ibrahim alayhi salam, they asked, can we come in or not? They just came into the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the ulama, they say that perhaps they did this because this was the nature of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He would not refuse anyone who would come into the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They would come in, and the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam would show and express his hospitality. And by the way, I do have to say this too. There are many ulama of the past too, where I studied at the madrasa where I studied in the UK. I remember the founder of that madrasa, he had that kind of very generous kind of personality. Anytime, you know, there were times where the students would just go and sit around him, and he was praying his nawafil. Sometimes you might be taking some rest, but as soon as he would get up and he would see that there are guests that have come into his room, whether he knows them or not, he would always tell his khadim that always give them something to eat. He had a refrigerator, and it was always filled with small, you know, small ice cream treats or small candies and so forth. And he would say, anyone who's here, I don't know them, just give them whatever I have, inshallah. So this was, you know, the generous kind of personality that some people they have. And there are many shuyukh who have that generous personality. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salam had the same thing too. So they came inside the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They made salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam made salam to them. And then the Quran says, فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين. He went right away and he prepared a meal for them. And the Quran says that he not just bring something small, but فجاء بعجل حنين. فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين. He brought like a tagra, you know, animal, you know, something that has meat on it, you know, a calf. And he could have slaughtered a cow, but the Quran says that he slaughtered a calf. And he brought it, he prepared it right away, and he brought it. And from this, of course, there are many lessons to be learned. And you can go back to one of my lectures I gave about the adab and the akhlaq, or the etiquettes of going to someone's house. So the host and the guest. Remember, I gave a long talk about this. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salam is there. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam prepares this food for them. And then he presents it to them. And they did not eat. Now, when they did not eat, at that time, the Quran says that فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَ, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he got scared immediately. Now, some say that he got scared because, you know, he did not know exactly what it was. And usually there was a practice amongst the Arabs or where they used to live. If someone came inside your home and you were hospitable towards them and they did not accept your hospitality, sometimes they may have been there to plunder, you understand? To come to rob you and so forth. And some ulama say that no, that was not what was in the mind of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but rather what was in the mind of Ibrahim alayhi salam was that if they are not eating, perhaps they are probably malaika, but then does that mean that I did something that is wrong, that they have been sent, they have been given a message by Allah that I did something that is wrong, or someone in my family did something that is wrong and so forth. So this is what was in Ibrahim alayhi salam's mind, to which they said that لا تخف إنا أرسلنا إلى قوم لوط. We're here just for like a pit stop here. Actually, our goal and our final destination is Qawm Lut. That is where we need to go. We're here just to give you some glad tidings. Now, at that time, Ibrahim alayhi salam's wife, Sarah, she was in the next room. And when she heard, she was hearing all this. So she came in front. And the Quran says, وَمْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَحِكَتْ فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقِ. When she heard that they are heading towards Qawm Lut, the Quran says that she laughed. The Quran says that she laughed. However, the ulama, they say that it's not like a laugh of mockery, but it's a laugh at a pleasure, because they say, the ulama, they say that Sarah was well aware of the crimes that Qawm Lut were committing. And the crimes that Qawm Lut were committing was very different than the crimes that were committed by many other tribes or many other qawms that came before. Because the idea was that there are people who came, they disobeyed Allah, Allah destroyed them. But in the story of Qawm Lut, they're committing an action or a sin that is very different from all the other sins that have been committed in the past. So when she heard that now the angels and the malaika are heading that way to destroy Qawm Lut, she was actually pleased at that. And there's nothing wrong with that. When you see that there is some kind of crime that has been taking place, then, you know, there's nothing wrong that there is a sin that is going to be eradicated from the face of this earth. Then this is what she was happy with. Then after that, the Quran says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا. They gave her the glad tiding. Why didn't the malaika give Ibrahim alayhi salam the glad tiding and say to him that you let your wife know that you're going to have a son? Because the father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, has already experienced the joy of having a child with who? With Hajra. But Sarah is the one here who has been deprived all this time. So instead of giving the news to Ibrahim alayhi salam, that let your wife know, they know that if we gave the news directly to Sarah, her happiness would be intensified. So that is why they gave her the glad tidings. Now, any person who has been given a child, they always are wondering, are they going to have children? Am I going to have a progeny going forward or not? And at that same moment, they gave her the glad tidings of that too. They said, فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقِ وَمِن وَرَاءَ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ. Not only are we going to give you Ishaq, but after that, Ishaq is going to have a son by the name of Yaqub. And Yaqub was who? He was, by the way, another nickname for him was who? What? Bani Israel, right? Because he had children, which were Bani Israel. So that is where it begins with. So that is why they're giving her the glad tiding. Now, at that same time, she was, of course, wondering, how is this all going to happen? And so the Dhariyat, by the way, talks about her emotional state. فَأَقَبَلَتْ مُرَأَتُهُ فِي صَرَّةٍ فَصَكَّتْ وَجَهَهَا. It means that, you know, when a person is like in state of shock, they hold their face, like they put their hands around their face, like they're in the state of shock, like how is this going to happen? Surat al-Hud does not highlight that emotional expression, but she did say, how is it possible that I, at this age in my life, I'm going to have a child, and my husband, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's going to have a child at this age. And then she says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. This is something very strange. Now, what did the malaika, they say? They say, ata'jabina. She said, ajib. This is ajib. They said that you feel that this is strange. Qalu ata'jabina min amrillah. This is the matter of Allah. Allah can do whatever He wants. Inna rabbaka fa'alun lima yurid. You are shocked at this news. How can you be shocked at this news? This is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa rahmatullahi alaykum. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Wa ahlul bayt, innahu hamidun majid. Then after that, Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salam. After that, he was calm. When he heard about all this going on, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْعُ وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوتٍ. Now the Quran says, now that everything is done, he gets the glad tidings and he finds out, okay, what are you guys? So you guys are heading towards Qawmi Lut. Then the Quran says, Ibrahim alayhi salam began to interfere or began to question us. Yujadiluna. He began to question us about the state of the affairs of Qawmi Lut. Basically, he began to plead to them that do not go and destroy them. And he began to make dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, do not go and destroy them. Give them respite. Give them a little more time. Send them another Nabi. Do something for them, but do not destroy them. Why? Because the ulama, they say that Lut alayhi salam was the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he cares about his nephew. He cares about his family members. But at that time, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ya Ibrahimu, a'rid an hadha. Ibrahim, stay out of this matter. You understand? And it is mentioned that there were two appeals that were rejected in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The first appeal was what? His father. وَغْفِرْ لِأَبِي إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الظَّالِينَ. Okay? وَغْفِرْ لِأَبِي إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الظَّالِينَ. And this was the second attempt. You understand? This was the second attempt that, Ya Allah, save them. Do not destroy them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Ibrahim, أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. Stay away from this. إِنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. The malaika are saying this to Ibrahim alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already come. He has given them enough respite. He has given them enough time. But now Qawmi Lut has come to a point that there is no return for them. There's nothing that will change their heart. Their hearts are sealed. Hence now, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon them. Now, there's a very interesting point here to also to understand. And that is, number one, we talked about the hospitality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is, subhanAllah, you learn that there are certain civilizations. Like if you go to many of the Arab community, mashallah, you go to their houses and so forth, they have this hospitable nature, mashallah. And not only that, but different civilizations, different groups of people, they have this kind of hospitality. And every single group within every single race, they have some kind of beautiful characteristics. So one is the generous nature that you and I, we should have. The more generous we are towards others, Allah will be generous towards us. But number two, another important lesson to be learned from this is, in the case of Sarah, she is the wife of a prophet of Allah. And she is someone who is also honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But her time came eventually, but it came a little later. You understand? She always wanted a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not only give her a child, but gave her the glad tidings of an upcoming progeny. So the point to be learned from this is, there's a lot of things that we want in our life, and we want it today. You understand? Ya Allah, I want this today. I want this tomorrow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is not on our clock. We are on the clock of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gets to decide when to give us, what to give us, at what point in our life to give us, and so forth. So we always leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we all know, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever we make dua for, there's never a situation, by the way, we should feel that our duas have gone to waste. Wallahi, there is never a situation where du'as will go to waste. Why? Because either that du'a is going to be answered in this dunya, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you another blessing as a result of that du'a. Who knows? Who knows? We've been making du'a to Allah for one thing, but Allah gave us so many other things in our life as a result of that du'a. Who knows? You understand? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, He knows. Or it will be saved for the akhirah. So never should there be a situation. You come across people, I'm sure you will even hear people say, I have given up on dua. I don't want to ask dua anymore. Why? Because Allah will not accept my duas. So the second thing to be learned from this story is, always keep on making dua to Allah. Always be connected to Allah. And Allah will eventually, based on His wisdom and His hikmah, He will give us whatever we want at the right time, inshallah. But now the last thing I really want to share with you, which is a very beautiful thing about this story. See, a lot of people have asked that what is the point of this part of the story? See, if the point of the story was the malaika came, they conversed with Ibrahim alayhi salam, they had a conversation with the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they gave them the glad tidings of Ishaq alayhi salam, okay, story done. The story has come to an end. But what's the point to mention that Ibrahim alayhi salam sort of objected and he was trying to find any way to delay the adab to Qawm Lut? Many people have asked, what is the point of Allah mentioning this? And you may remember that in Ramadan, I had mentioned that when it comes to the Quran, there is no story in the Quran that is mentioned there, but it has a reason. You understand? It has a reason. So the question is, why was this story mentioned in Surah Hud? The way to understand this is this. Surah Hud is what? Is it a Makki or Madani Surah? Anyone know? Surah Hud, is it a Makki Surah or Madani Surah? Anyone? Raise your hand. Anyone know? Okay, Surah Hud is a Makki Surah. Okay, it's a Makki surah. Why? Because Allah is talking about the previous nations. One thing about the Makki surahs, Allah is always talking about Tawheed, Risalah, Akhirah, previous nations, Qiyamah. These are very common themes with the Makki surahs. Surah Hud is all about the previous nations. The people of Makkah always said that because we are associated with Ibrahim alayhi salam, due to the Kaaba and taking care of the Kaaba, and we are the custodians of the Kaaba and so forth, and this is where Ibrahim alayhi salam's, you know, his major accomplishment took place here in Mecca, and we are in Mecca and so forth, and this is where our lineage goes all the way back to, nothing will harm us. This was their mentality. You understand? Nothing will harm us. Allah will never punish us. Even if we commit sins, Allah will never punish us. You see the connection now? Allah is telling, through this story, Allah is sending a very subtle message to the Quraysh. That if Ibrahim alayhi salam, he pleaded for his own nephew, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected his plea, then who are you to say that the adab of Allah will not come to you? Even if Ibrahim alayhi salam, you are connected with Ibrahim alayhi salam, you are associated with Ibrahim alayhi salam, but we all have to answer to Allah, and we all are accountable, not based on our relationships, but based on the actions that we do. And Allah will judge us accordingly. So this story, even though it's just two ayat, but this story is a very strong message to the Quraysh, that don't ever feel that your association with Ibrahim alayhi salam is gonna over, you know, this is enough to save you from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not the case. You understand? So this is another message. And by the way, one more thing to be learned from this, you know, sort of interjection of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is that no matter who, what person is, we can never interject in the matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. But even today, subhanAllah, imagine if you worked for a company okay, a very big company, and you are, mashallah, a great employee of that place. But there are still some limitations. You cannot just go to the boss and say, you know what? You know that I'm an amazing employee. No, I want you to do this and this and this. And I object to you making this decision, that decision. There are certain times where, you know, you don't have any more power going forward. So though Ibrahim alayhi salam, he felt that I am the Prophet of Allah. These people, I mean, these malaika have come. Let me try to throw in a plea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, you are the Prophet. But you have your own place. You stay in your lane. You understand? And these decisions regarding other people is the lane of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone needs to mind their own lane. You cannot start getting into other people's lanes and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching Ibrahim alayhi salam a very valuable lesson also here. That understand your position and you need to understand my position also. So we'll finish on this inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us the tawfiq to understand these stories and apply the teachings from these stories. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.